Radio.
Hello there, folks, and thank you for listening to the show.
I'm Joanna.
I'm Nate, and this is Stranger Than. Here we are to tell you about some strange and wacky things that are happening in the world, or have happened in the world, or maybe will happen in the world. It's hard to say, really.
Well, I can tell you that I'm keeping it pretty much in line with current events.
Yeah, I'm not going into the future. Not going into the future so much.
I'm not delving into the past today.
Well, okay.
So there you are.
Well, what do you have for us?
I was going to talk about a particularly awful thing that I just found out existed, which would be it's, you know, referred to as black fungus. Its official name is mucormycosis, and it's a fungal infection that basically eats off your face and like eats into your brain. Like, it goes through your bone, eats away bone, face bone,
you know, cheekbone,
jaw bone, all the bones in your face. It can just eat right through it. It eats through your eyes and your nose, and it attacks your brain, and it's pretty fucking terrible. And India had a big outbreak of it in 2021 because it was kind of secondary to the COVID outbreak.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It took longer for it to, like, you know, spread to India and really hit hard there. And this thing popped up with a vengeance during that. And yeah, I just now found out about it. Real quick, before I go on, I was an asshole, and last episode when I was talking about giving the update on the Idaho State murders.
Yeah.
Well, I was a dick, and I forgot to mention my sources. I did mention, you know, TMZ and Fox News, but the other sources that I had for that article were www.independent.co.uk. abcnews.go.com and www.idahostatesman.com.
All right.
So I just wanted to get
get that out of the way right off the bat.
I wanted to get that out of the way because I really do feel like shit when we, like, stop recording and I turn it off and we say our goodbyes and everything, and then I'm like, fuck.
Well, we got it.
God damn it. I forgot to cite my sources again, like a dick. And then, okay, for what I'm talking to you about right now, my sources are www.cdc.gov, www.wtsp.com, globalhealthnow.org, www.telegraph.co.uk, and www.statnews.com.
For future reference, you don't have to say the www.
I know. That's how it's like on my screen.
Fair enough, but you don't have to. Outstanding. Well, what, tell us about this horrible face-eating mold.
Yeah, it's
fungus.
Well,
whatever.
I mean, it's pretty terrible. I'll start with some information direct from the CDC on it. And a thing I love about the CDC is how they word everything, and they don't usually show any pictures of anything. Because while I'm talking about this, I want you to actually Google it right now. Do like a Google
image. What am I looking for?
Search on mucormycosis, mucormycosis.
Oh yeah, that's horrific.
Yeah, pretty fucking terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, that's awful.
Yeah, you don't want that to be a thing that's happening to you. Like,
no.
Not at all. Like, I showed this to one of the techs and one of the nurses at my work, and both me and the other tech were telling the nurse, like, if this happens to me, I want to die.
Right.
Like, just kill me. And of course, the nurse being one of our more awesome nurses that works with us was just like, oh yeah, I'll slip you, so I'll OD you on something.
Yeah, don't you worry. I got your back.
Give you a bunch of insulin or something. Because, I mean, if anyone knows how to kill you like that, it's a nurse.
Yeah.
You spend all this time learning how not to kill people. Obviously, you're going to learn all the ways. You know,
yeah, you just do the reverse.
Exactly. Except if your face is getting eaten off by a black fungus. That is the time where, yes, please.
Yeah, definitely.
Please. Well, yeah, now having seen that, it's just funny to, like, kind of go on the CDC and they kind of just kind of are, like, just, I don't know. They probably employ psychologists that, like, look over their information that they put out. But for whatever reason, just reading about it on the CDC website does not really, it just kind of downplays, like, how terrible a fucking thing this would be to have happening to you.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess, I mean, they don't want to cause panic about stuff, but...
Sometimes maybe they need to.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, it was previously referred to as zygomycosis, but currently is called mucormycosis. It's a serious but rare, okay, it is rare, fungal infection caused by a group of molds called Myrmecoides. They live throughout the environment. And... mainly, it attacks people that have a suppressed immune system, a weakened immune system.
Yeah.
And so the reason that by July of 2021, 4,300 people had died in India from this face-eating mold.
Jesus.
And they had a reported at the time, 45,374.
So that's how many people were actually infected?
Yes. 4,374 cases of it.
Wait.
And 4,300 deaths.
Oh, okay. I see. So, like, mm-hmm. near, like, 90...
Yeah, like
high, so... 90%, like, fatality.
It's about, like, 50, but could be as much as 80%, they say, if it's not caught for a long time. Plus, they... many people that, were interviewed for these articles about the outbreak in India said that it was probably severe. Those numbers were probably severely underreported and low end of it, because there's so many rural areas and people not even getting to hospitals. Yeah. And it's one of the reasons that India itself tends to have a higher incidence of this infection than just the rest of the world in general without even having a pandemic.
Yeah.
But the huge surge happened because they're going through this terrible pandemic, and it goes for people with weakened immune systems. India has a higher incidence of it anyway, just because the spores can be in anything, and it tends to be like a rather dusty place where a lot of material is carried by wind.
Yeah,
you have to inhale the spores, and then from there it spreads. It can actually be in your lungs, it can be in your intestines, it can just be on your surface, but the worst is when it's actually in your whole
face.
Like your sinuses, when it gets when it's growing there out of control, because it just eats through everything, your nerves, your soft tissue, the bones, the organs, everything. It's just eating your face away. And there's really the way that you cure it is through, like, IV antifungals, but sometimes they're not very effective.
Oh, great.
And the disease just, or the infection just progresses really rapidly. It's pretty terrible.
Damn.
So COVID, back to why it surged during COVID, is that, okay, already you have COVID, number one. A lot of people that are very ill with COVID were people who had what they called comorbidities, like they had a secondary health issue that contributed to the COVID wreaking havoc on their body.
Kind of exacerbated the whole thing.
Yeah, it's the same with this fungal infection. Diabetes being the number one comorbidity with COVID, and with this infection that tends to just make it like awful and hard to survive. So people with diabetes are very susceptible to it. And then also steroids, and people, they are using steroids to help people breathe better.
Yeah.
So they're
yeah.
diabetic, they have fucking COVID.
And then they're
and
getting,
now they're given steroids in order to try and help them breathe more,
this
which
fungal infection.
Even, yeah, it just lowers the immune system even
Jesus.
More. Sugar, it also, both of those things push up blood sugar levels, and for whatever reason, that's also like a big deciding factor in whether the fungus can actually like take hold of you, because it's everywhere. It's fucking everywhere. All right. It's all over the U.S., the spores, mostly from like the beginning of Kansas and east. It's like a line down the center of the United States. So there's not as much over your
of
neck of the woods.
There's not a lot of people in America that are getting...
It doesn't. The most times that it happens in America is after like a hurricane, like after Hurricane Katrina, there were more than a few cases of this. Because stuff that's contaminated by flood water and
a lot
of stuff being carried by flood water from place to place to place, and the mold that it generates when that happens
it could
happen, but it's actually, I mean, it can just be in like decaying leaves and the soil,
just like whatever.
So, just like whatever. Do you remember Scooped Out Face Guy?
Scooped Out Face Guy.
And I feel terrible. That's a terrible way to refer to this man.
I don't know if I know
who that
is.
That's how they did it in South Park, and we all know that South Park is awful. They did a parody on this guy who is on... I saw him on Maury Povich, I believe. he got the same infection and basically had to... have both of his eyes and his nose and the roof of his mouth removed.
Jesus.
So the infection literally scooped out his face, and they did a little additional scooping in order to...
make sure they got it all.
Yeah, make sure they got it all away. Because that's the only thing besides the IV antibiotics, which aren't as effective. They have to cut away the infected tissue, okay? Yeah, the infected tissue that's already like eaten half your face off, and then they got to cut down even further in order to try and get rid of it.
Damn, that is just terrible.
So he literally just had this giant hole in the middle of his face, and this happened to him like in 2000, and he died in like 2006, like right after he made all the talk show circuits and stuff. He was on like Ripley's Believe It or Not, and he finally got like this prosthetic face thing that made him look like he had eyes and nose.
So he must have been blind. I mean,
because he had eyeballs.
No eyeballs. Wow.
No nose. No top roof of his mouth.
That's just horrendous.
Yeah, and I don't know.
That sucks.
I guess it was so bad that I think he was offered. He and his family were told, like, we can make you comfortable and until you're dead.
Right.
Or we're going to have to take your whole face. And so we're just going to let you make the call on that. And he won it.
Wow. That's wild.
It was pretty incredible. Now, there's like this whole website that talks about this guy, and also happens to be like a website that's set up mold inspections for people's houses, because it says that he got it due to the fact, Mark Tatum was his name, by the way, but he got it due to the fact that they had had some construction done in their house, and when demoing the walls, there was like black mold in their house. And then of course he had diabetes and had recently gotten some steroid injections for pain.
It was the perfect storm.
Right. Wow. Although, as I said before, I mean, you could actually have the most, it's not going to just be from mold in your house. So don't everyone go running out there and think you have to pay somebody to do a mold inspection. in your home and then tell you that, you know, every home probably has some level of mold in it. And
yeah, so India has a shitload of people. And for there to be been like 4,000 people, even underreported, say that's a triple the amount. That's 12,000 people in a huge population. I believe India has more people in it than the United States does.
By far, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean,
I think they have like a billion people now.
Not as many as China, but like not too far behind. So
not very far behind. Like, they have definitely, like, I think they have definitely hit the 1 billion mark.
Yeah, I don't know, but I do know that if it's only that many people in a place that this is completely rampant in, and there is way more people, like, that's going to equate to very few instances of it in a place like the United States.
Yeah. And it's not going to always be because of mold in your house. So like I said, don't go rushing out and feeling like you have to have your home inspected for mold because this guy happened to get this terrible thing because of mold in his house. And that was his thought, at least. Because like I said, organic matter, it's out there in the soil. You can have like the most mold-free house ever, and you could still be exposed and inhaling the spores because you go out and rake some leaves in your front yard.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
and it takes, you know, it's like a regular, like, healthy person without any underlying things.
Right, and if you're regular and healthy and don't have like a severely compromised immune system, you're going to be okay. But yeah, people who have had organ transplants also people who have had organ transplants are also susceptible to it, as well as people receiving stem cell transplants.
Is that because of the anti-rejection drugs or whatever?
Yes, it suppresses their immune system because they're trying to suppress an immune response to the stem cells
brand new organ. Yeah.
Yes. So yeah. The CDC said, avoid activities that involve close contact to soil or dust, such as yard work or gardening. I'm like, yeah, I think I should just avoid those activities altogether.
Only if you have an organ transplant or if you're taking steroids. Are you trying to get swole right now, Joanna?
No.
No, so you're not taking steroids.
No, but I mean, this is just general. It doesn't specify. This is how to just be like,
oh,
safer.
I see.
This
in general. Oh, I see.
In general,
in general, avoid outside.
Avoid, avoid going outdoors and doing anything. But also, you
clean
should be careful if there's mold, and because there could be mold inside your house, which is also bad.
Clean
but
inside your house and avoid outside your house.
I just liked how that one website kind of like capitalized on like the terribleness of
yard work,
that infection,
gardening,
on their website to be like, this is why you need to call us and have us inspect your home for mold.
Yeah, they're like, holy shit, this could happen to you.
Yes. But again, very rare for that to happen. It was just really crazy. I mean, like, already they're going through this, and then people start getting, by like the thousands, by the tens of thousands, start getting this fucking fungus that starts eating their goddamn faces off. I mean, okay, yeah, these people died, but the ones that lived, most of them are pretty fucking maimed. Like, they've lost an eye, they've lost their fucking nose. I mean,
right, yeah, they're disfigured, at least.
They are severely disfigured.
Like World War One style, like, disfigurement.
Yes, terrible. I've been watching Boardwalk Empire lately, and they have, like, a guy who has to have, like, his, you know, half his pretend face because of, like, probably, they don't say specifically, but it's mustard gas exposure.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Most likely. That was the thing that tended to eat people's faces off in World War One. So
that's why they came up with a prosthetic face stuff.
Yeah.
And back then it was not, they didn't have the materials, you know, it was just
right. Well,
like,
I gotta say, I mean, the prosthetic face for Mr. Tatum was not that same one that guy uses, but it's, you know, supposed to be from World War One. But funny. I mean, yeah, anything that eats your goddamn face off, that's terrible. And that had to be like a gnarly stitch. I'm assuming at this point, it's since, you know, COVID is the surge has died down over there, that hopefully also the fungus that eats your fucking face off is also
starts to get a fucking handle on it. Well, again, there was only 4,000, like almost 5,000 people, and most of them died. So
yeah, but there was like 45,000 cases. So
oh, 45,000.
There was 45,000 cases and 43,000 reported deaths.
I thought you said 4,000.
Okay. There's 45,000 cases and 4,300 confirmed deaths.
Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. you okay,
but probably you got... a lot was being underreported.
Right, that was all fucked around. I thought that there was like... I thought you were saying that there was like 4,500 people that got it and 4,300 that died.
No.
I see. No. Okay, well that makes...
But it does have a high... I mean, I don't know why it's kind of like off the numbers, just at 10%. Maybe it's... There's a lot of those cases are active and it takes a while. So who knows what the end game was, how many ended up dying. Because they did say the fatality rate is around 50% up to 80%. And even the CDC lists it as around, you know, the severe infections to be around 50%. But maybe there has to be like a level of severity in the location of it. Maybe people also like have it like just cutaneously and like not on their face.
Well, I did see pictures of like that on like there was like a guy whose hand was all fucked up.
Yeah. And there's another one that's similar to this. I think the name is just like mycosis. It's a similar thing, except it like attacks like people's feet. So it happens in like sub-Saharan Africa and a lot of places where people can't afford to have shoes and they walk. They do like rural jobs, walking like herds and walking barefoot along a lot of places. So.
Picking up like shit in their hobbit feet.
And it's terrible. It like their feet just get eaten up and horrible swelling and blisters all over it. And
yeah, and that doesn't really work very well for like a shepherd or something. He's got to walk with a flock.
Fungal infections are freaky, and I admit I started going down this rabbit hole because, have you been watching The Last of Us?
No.
No. Do you know the premise of The Last of Us?
Yes.
Okay. So it started like, in that it's cordyceps that's evolved to infect humans and not just insects. We've talked about that before.
Yes.
And it's an awesome show and I highly recommend that you watch
it. Oh yeah, no, we will. I mean, there's a video game that it's based on.
Yes, and you know, I'm not one to play video games. I love the show so much. Me and Scarlett are thinking about getting like a used PS3 and I mean, I know you can get it in like the 4 or 5, but I don't want to spend like $500
totally,
on a video gaming system. You can get like a PS3 though, like a refurbished one for not that much.
You can get PS4s pretty cheap too.
Yeah, so
we got one and it was like only a couple hundred bucks.
Yeah, so one or the other, and then getting the game and playing it, because I think it's such a great show.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah, so I went down this rabbit hole, and basically science, the scientific community as a collective, is saying probably not something like The Last of Us is going to happen anytime soon. But, oh, hey, look at this, you know, look at this big surge of a face-eating fungus that you've never seen before. Look what happened just a couple years ago in India when COVID was surging. And there are some other ones that are kind of scary. There's Candida auris, which is like this, it's, you basically die of a yeast infection, but it's very new. First diagnosed in 2009 in Japan, and now has come to the U.S. too. Over 5,000 infections so far.
And it's a fungal infection?
It's basically like you die of a yeast infection. It's a yeast infection, but it gets like in your bloodstream and attacks your organs and...
Jesus Christ.
It doesn't eat your face off. So there's that.
I mean,
but it's still like, it basically attacks like your heart and
Your organs. You need your organs.
You need those your organs. Are, you need the thing that like pumps blood to all your organs.
You need all
your
of
brain.
Them. Well, most of
yeah,
them.
Yeah, they're all pretty important.
They're all fairly useful.
You can lose part or one.
Yeah,
of
but
some,
I mean,
so.
It's not ideal.
It isn't. It's never a good sitch.
That's why we keep them inside.
The thing about the new Candida is that Candida auris is that it is really hard to kill. Like, it can like resist a lot of disinfectants, and it can live on surfaces. So it's primarily a problem in the hospital with people who are already sick and tend to have like tubes in them, like IVs and catheters and all. There's all kinds of tubes that can be stuck all kinds of places in hospitals, trust me. So the more tubing is going in and out of your body, the more susceptible you are to it. And you know, immunocompromised, it'll take effect pretty badly. And it's extremely resistant to all the antifungal drugs.
Of course it
that
is.
We have right now.
And probably because we've used so many of the antifungal drugs on stuff.
Yeah. So that could be a thing that, okay, it might not be like worldwide pandemic of heart-stopping yeast and face-eating fungus, but it is stuff that is kind of like creeping up on us at a slow pace.
Yeah, that's not great.
And so, yeah, it's definitely something that I think is going to be more of a thing in the future, but it's not going to be a worldwide, like, oh no, now we're living in a dystopian future because of it, I don't think. I think the dystopian future, most like television, is probably Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, I mean, there's a lot of politicians
in America,
out there in America that would very much like for it to be that way, or just like the Bible, I guess. I don't know. And scary things have been happening with that.
Yeah, true.
So true. I think that that's probably the one I'm actually fearing most, not like fungal apocalypse.
But more of
yet. Regression
to.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I would say that's the more likely. But yeah, that's about all I got on that.
Well, that's fucking horrific.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible.
Well, it's a good thing that I have wacky animal stories.
Oh, that sounds fun.
Kind of wacky. So the first article I have is from IFL Science. Giant goldfish hybrid as heavy as a 10-year-old is a reminder not to dump your pets. Mr. Bubbles can grow to an enormous size out in the wild, and he's going to be mad when he finds out what you did.
Oh, really? Is he going to come and fucking get you?
The picture is of this is of a man holding a giant goldfish. It is a fucking huge goldfish.
Is it really?
Oh, they have fucked up faces. Like, this thing is, he's holding it with two hands.
Oh, okay. Like, I think we're going to have to do, like, Google image
this
search
This is bigger
now
than a
this.
Salmon. This is a giant fish. There are many breeds of goldfish, but as a general rule, they are hardy, golden types of domesticated carp. They come in all kinds of curious arrangements, like the celestial eye goldfish, and are sometimes hybridized with other fish like koi, as was the case for the carrot, which is the name of this giant fucking goldfish.
The carrot, huh?
The carrot's carp-koi hybrid status meant that given 20 years to roam, she has grown to over 30 kilograms in weight, which
Holy
is...
fucking shit. And I'm looking at the pictures now, too.
Yeah. That's...
What the fucking fuck?
Insane. And 30 kilograms is something like, what was it, like 80 pounds or 50 pounds or something?
Yeah, it's about like three times the amount, like about
something so I think it's
kilogram, pounds per kilogram-ish.
Not quite 100 pounds, but still heavy as fuck.
I mean, shit, even like a 40-pound bag of dog food, I mean, I can barely do that. 40-pound bag of cat fucking litter, which I had to buy the other day, and it was just like, damn, this is heavy.
Yeah, giant fish. It took Andy Hackett from Worcestershire, UK, 25 minutes to reel her in before snapping a few photos and letting her go. Obviously, you don't keep that thing. I don't think people eat carp.
No,
and
I don't.
They don't eat
I
koi.
Can't imagine goldfish being really tasty.
And also, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's huge. How do goldfish get so big? The enormous size of the carrot serves as a reminder not to release your pets into the wild. Because as hardy fish certain types of goldfish can grow to enormous sizes. Gigantic goldfish have been reported as a problem in parts of America where they upset the silt bed and rip up plants. The authorities believe pet owners are partly to blame. Goldfish dumping into wild waterways represents an invasive species.
I don't understand why so many people are dumping live goldfish. I mean, isn't goldfish something you flush when they die? Isn't it just easy enough to like accidentally kill them and then flush them away? Who needs to get rid of a live goldfish that this is happening and a thing now and they're invading?
It's weird because it's not like you're like, oh man, this goldfish, like, I don't know. It's a goldfish. I mean, they barely, they're like moving, they're like plants that move on their own, basically.
Well, and they're, it's not like they're snakes. Like, the snakes thing I get, Florida's full of giant snakes.
Yeah.
People get the snakes and they grow too huge and they're just like, okay, I can't control this snake anymore. I'm going to let it out live into the wild. Goldfish, I mean, I feel like when they're living in a bowl, they don't live long enough ever to.
Even if they do, they don't get huge. In a bowl. They only grow as big as their environment allows, which is why you let this one roll around in the fucking, like, lake or whatever for 20 years. It's going to get gargantuan. I mean, if nothing, nothing's going to eat it.
Right.
You know? And then it just gets bigger and bigger, and it gets to a point where, I mean, what's going to eat it? They don't, especially because this is in the UK. There's no bears in the UK.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't think they have wild cats in the UK. They don't have anything that's catching fish and just eating them. Like, there's birds.
Nothing sitting by the water ready to swat them out of the water as they're, you know.
Yeah, but and like an eagle's not going to go.
Spawning their way up river in the UK.
An eagle's not going to pick up a like 85-pound fish. It's going to grab it and then get drowned by the fish. You know?
That's just crazy. It's like it has like no natural predators.
No, I mean, not at all.
Which is what happens with but that's why invasive species become invasive species, because there's nothing around to like keep it in check.
Exactly.
Like in other places.
Exactly. So, goldfish dumped into wild waterways represent an invasive species and can even muscle out native species by outcompeting them for resources. Getting so swole requires a voracious appetite. And in the process, they can pick up and pass on parasites.
Oh, nice. Dude, parasites, I hate parasites almost as much as I hate, like, face-eating fungus.
I know.
There's so many, like, disgusting things in the universe and the world.
It's true.
In our very environment that we live in. It's just very gross. True.
Goldfish are generally feeders who will eat whatever's an offer. And depending on the breed, they can live for a surprisingly long time. Long-lived breeds can grow to a foot or beyond. And if they've been hybridized with another fish, like the carrot, they can go even bigger. How big do goldfish get? The reason we associate goldfish with being mini, bowl-dwelling animals is that to an extent, their size is dictated by their environment. A fish kept in a small tank on modest feed will stay small, partly due to stress, and it will stay that way until they die.
Right, which will be a lot quicker than, I guess, when you set them free in the wild.
Like, they can eat whatever the fuck they want constantly? Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Jesus Christ, just keep the damn goldfish. It won't live long. Like, I've never had a goldfish that lasted longer than, like, 6 months. I mean.
Jesus. however, if you upgrade that same goldfish to a big tank with lots of food, it'll quickly blossom into a much bigger fish. It's illegal in the U.S. to dump unwanted pets into wild waterways, but the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service have tips on breaking up with Mr. Bubbles if you really need to part ways. And you'll want to stay on his good side, considering goldfish are driving cars now. Which I don't understand.
I don't get that, the joke.
It's because scientists have trained a goldfish to drive on land in tiny cars.
What the fuck? Okay.
Yeah, it's like this. It's not a very long article. Scientists train goldfish to drive on land in tiny cars. Same website, IFL Science. If the arrival of 2022, this is a year old. If the arrival of 2022 has you thinking new year, new me, get in line. Because the humble goldfish has taken reinvention to a whole new level in a recent study that's got them driving about on land, proving they are capable of dominating alien environments. Participant fish recently got behind the wheel of custom fish operating FOVs, fish-operated vehicles to reach targets in return for a treat. That's right, everybody. Fish can drive now. The illuminating research comes from scientists at Ben-Gurion University in Israel who wanted to explore if navigational skills are dependent on species, environment, or brain structure, or if animals share generalizable skills which they can incorporate when, say, dumped into a water tank with wheels on dry land.
Mm-hmm.
Their results were published in the Journal of Behavioral Brain Research. And it goes on to talk more about it, but basically what it is they took this fish tank, basically, and they put it on a device that has these four wheels, and it looks like it kind of, it's like one wheel on each side, so it kind of rotates, and the fish just fucking, like, drive it around.
Not the same as driving a real car, so I'm actually not going to worry too much over that.
Yeah, I mean, it is a tank on wheels, and that's
like a fish tank. They actually start being able to, like, you know, take over our world as, like, you know, start stealing our cars and stuff, I mean, who knows where it would go from there. First they're, like, ripping your cars off, and then they're, like, busting in your house
stealing
and
catalytic converters.
God, that is such a fucking thing. That is such a fucking thing right now. Like, especially in Topeka. Well, I'm sure all over the place. Is it? Yeah, and it's like a newer thing. Like they just all discover this, like this whole network of meth heads and crack heads.
Hey, I mean, you gotta do something.
They found out about it, and like words spread all across the country that the new thing to rip people off for is their goddamn catalytic converters.
And
that's also a thing with the economy, because the stuff has become so valuable that it's like, well, it's worth sawing into a car for.
Yeah, I can't even remember what the thing that's in it is that the people give a shit about.
I don't know, but it's a thing that's drastically gone up in price since our economy, you know, since COVID and the whole economy.
Well, I mean, it's been a thing tanked for a while, yeah.
It has been a thing, but it's really bad now. It's like reaching like peak level at this point, I think. Yeah.
The last article I have here is from scarymommy.com. Killer whales' moms often stop having kids to take care of their needy adult sons.
Oh.
A new study has found that male orcas often mooch off their mothers for their entire lives.
That's funny.
Animals are just like us, right? Well, you can draw your own conclusions. A new study has found that killer whale moms often look after their needy male offspring long after they're adults, and even forego food and further expanding their family in order to baby their spoiled boys. The study, which was published in the latest issue of the scientific journal Current Biology, examined the costly lifetime maternal investment in three pods of killer whales living in the Pacific Ocean over a span of 40 years. What they found is totally new information about how whale family units work. And the fact is that it's rough to be an orca boy mom. We've known for over a decade that adult male killer whales relied on their mothers to keep them alive, but it had never been clear whether mothers pay a cost to do so, Michael N. Weiss of the University of Exeter, UK, and the Center for Whale Research in the US told Phys Org, which I imagine is a, you know, news outlet. When a female killer whale has a daughter, she grows up, leaves her mother's side, and becomes a functioning member of the pod, whether or not she herself begins having offspring. But when a female killer whale has a son, he will often stay at her side for years, even for the rest of her life, eating her leftovers and acting like a juvenile calf no matter his actual age. While he might leave her side to mate, he soon returns, letting someone else raise his baby while he continues to act like one. You'd think that a big killer whale male would be able to take care of himself, Janet Mann, a behavioral ecologist at Georgetown University, told Science. While this story might at first seem a bit cute and very anthropomorphic, there's a darker side to the lopsided arrangement. The mom whales are often deprived of food in order to keep their sons well fed. and they also give up on having more babies if they still have a son who sticks around taking resources. In fact, in any given year of the study, a mother killer whale was 70% less likely to have another calf if they still had a son living at home, quote unquote. And it didn't matter whether the son was still only 3 or a hearty 18 years old. If an orca didn't have kids, or if she had a daughter, her chance of having more offspring was the same.
Okay.
This hasn't really been looked at before, said Eva Strudelunsky, an aquatic biologist and fisheries at Ocean Canada, also told Science in the same story. It provides the first definitive description of what this support costs mothers. So, if you have a full-grown human son playing video games in your basement right now, maybe you can blame it on Mother Nature's mysterious ways? Or maybe you should consider not giving him free salmon every night. Of course, researchers think there are good evolutionary reasons for this needy son phenomenon. A mama's boy can reproduce with more killer whales and produce more offspring than a single female. And killer whales are one of the few animals that, like humans, go through menopause. That means that after they lose their ability to have kids, it's good for the species for moms to continue taking care of adult members of their family. Females gain evolutionary benefits when their sons are able to successfully reproduce, and our results indicate that these benefits are enough to outweigh a large direct cost, Weiss explains in his interviews. More research remains to be done. Mann suggests that populations of killer whales should be studied in addition to other marine mammals. Still, we should know for sure that this type of treatment is rare in the animal kingdom. As for any clingy adult males living in your pod, maybe there's an evolutionary reason for it.
Right, and I wonder what the reason is that even in whale species, like males are tend to be favored. Just us. Or see, is it because the males are simply like more needy? And
well, so the females are the ones that raise the children.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to go do that. They get pregnant and then they raise their children. Whereas the males, they just reproduce and reproduce and reproduce and reproduce and reproduce. They could go from day to day to day, and they can make way more whales that way than one female who I don't even think they actually usually give birth more than one to one calf. I think that's normally just one.
It's just one at a time.
And so it makes a lot of sense for this one male. And then also what they were saying is that, you know, so the females have a finite amount of time that they're able to propagate the species. And so for one to take care of one male for her whole life is creating more of the species than if she's able to give birth every, I don't even know, like 18 months or whatever it is. I think it's a long time.
Yeah, well, this is why it doesn't make a huge amount of sense to me, because I feel like you would need less males than females, since they can do more than one, but a female can only have one calf at a time, often for, you know, like 18 months. So if the species are going to survive, wouldn't you need to like make sure like the females are the ones surviving, because
but
you
they
need
are.
A lot more of them.
They are surviving.
Then, yeah, but they're not getting as much attention as their fucking brothers. Jesus Christ.
They are. They're having more whales. They're getting a lot more attention. but I don't know say in the article like what it, like how many males and how many females are born. I mean, really, it's getting to all like kind
that
of
that seems
like
it could be like kind of a bad thing if like
point,
you
but.
Know they have like a boy and then that's all they have. They don't have any more because they're busy taking care of that one boy when they could
right,
be having,
but also
putting out another girl that'll
but isn't
also
every single male
right.
So some at times it happens, yes. But there's also males that don't do that.
Yeah.
So it's not like as soon as they have a boy, it's fucking done.
Right.
Otherwise, there would be no more killer whales.
But yeah, I'm just saying the phenomenon tends to just so far just be seen with male calves. I mean, yeah, it doesn't happen with every male calf, but so far it seems like they're
right.
saying it
because,
only happens with
and,
male calves.
Like
there's no
yeah.
clinging like female calves where they're just
right.
taking care of
it's
them.
It's because
for the rest
like
of their life.
As the article says, they do their job for nature. The
yeah.
job in nature for a female killer whale is to have more killer whales.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
in
no,
order
I mean,
for
I,
a female
I get that part.
To have
I
more
just,
killer whales,
yeah.
it needs to do it on its own. It can't just be taken care of by somebody else. It's got to take care of other people, other whales itself.
Yeah.
Whereas one male killer whale can go and impregnate many other ones. Mm-hmm. And I think a good part of nature is that it does leave its mother to do that. And so she does not have to watch that.
Yes.
But yeah, no, it's a weird thing.
It is. It is. That's information I did not know before. So.
Nor did I. And that was an article that just came out on the 8th. So just a couple days ago.
All right.
Yeah. Well, that is about all I have for you today.
That is also all I have for you today.
So thank you all very much for listening. We appreciate it very much. If you would like to join our Patreon, it's patreon.com/strangerthanpodcast. There you can get our ad-free episodes, our regular episodes ad-free, and then $2 a month.
$2 a month is ad-free episodes, and then $5 a month is ad-free episodes, regular episodes, plus a bonus true crime episode.
Yes, and then you can give us $1 a month if you just, you know, like us.
Yeah, I just think that we're awesome people.
You can also join our Facebook group, The Strange Space. It's on Facebook.
And, you know, I post some memes. Occasionally, there's a group chat on there now, which, I mean, it was just one of those things. I was trying to look at some message, and it, like, made me, I just kept hitting the thing. You know, so any of you that are maybe, like, annoyed by it.
Yeah, who knows?
Because it's a thing that's popping up on all sorts of groups, and I'm just like, oh, like, why am I getting these goddamn message notifications? I wasn't actually trying to, like, you know,
do that. Stuff.
Unless you choose to participate, you can mute the notifications. Because I figured out how to do that for some other group that suddenly had a group chat, probably because of the same thing. They're trying to get a message sent to their group, and it was just like, nope, here, you got to, like, sign it up. So now everybody that's in your group is on this
thing,
shared chat thing.
Yeah, good old Facebook.
But yeah, there you go.
You can send us any sort of stories about weird shit that's happened to you, paranormal or otherwise. strangerthanpodcast@gmail.com. And with that, we'll talk to you next time.
And stay strange.